7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back again with another episode, and this time we are breaking down the offseason and the draft and talking fantasy football and what we think the outcome of the season is going to be for the Miami Dolphins. And, of course, Miami Dolphins had pick number 11 overall in the first round of the draft. But before we get to any of that, Tim, Tom, how we doing?
I'm all right. How are you, Josh?
Living the dream. Can't complain. Yeah.
I'm pumped that Tim finally gets to talk about his AFC team that he loves. He's a big-time Dolphins fan. He's hoping to move down to South Beach pretty soon, and it'll be a good time here. Tim, I'm going to let you talk the whole time about your quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, your coach, Adam Gase.
I love Adam Gase. This might be the team I have been least looking forward to talk about.
What?
They are just
They're pretty interesting. They're pretty interesting.
Train wreck.
No.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about
the Tina Turner of NFL teams.
Let's talk a little bit about their offseason. We have Jarvis Landry, who did sign his franchise tag, but then, of course, we saw Jarvis Landry get traded to the Cleveland Browns for, in my opinion, not much. It was, what, a seventh-round pick in 2019 and a fourth-round pick in 2018. Not much at all.
They needed to trade him, though. This team was in cap hell during the offseason. I think with Landry on the books with that franchise tag, they were like 16 mil over the cap. And this football team isn't that great on paper. There's no reason they should be in that much cap hell. So they needed to make that trade. You can't be paying you shouldn't be paying a slot wide receiver, which that's what Jarvis Landry is, over 15 mil a year.
They set themselves back years, decades possibly, with the way that they handled Jarvis Landry, with the way that they've handled a lot of their players and their cap situation. You go back 5-6 years, the Brandon Marshall situation. Now, they got 2 second-round picks for Marshall, so obviously still better. But at the time, Brandon Marshall was the creme de la creme mm-hmm. in the NFL. Multiple big-name wide receivers that they had to just get rid of, wipe their hands up because they were struggling to make things work. They couldn't have them in their system, and they didn't have the money to pay them. They don't do things the right way. They're just bad.
But do you think paying him that much money is the right thing to do?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. They've already, in their situation this year, no. But Jarvis Landry's been their team. For the last 3 seasons, the Miami Dolphins are Jarvis Landry. That's been it. Figure it out. Don't put yourself in cap hell and not have a way out. The fact that it's a fourth rounder and a seventh rounder for someone of Jarvis Landry's caliber is a joke. It's terrible. That's bad GMing. That's just a poor way to run a franchise.
Another trade that they made ended up getting Robert Quinn, outside linebacker from the LA Rams, and they also got a sixth round pick, and in return they had to give up a fourth rounder and a sixth rounder as well.
I like the pick for the Dolphins. Had a brain fart who we're talking about. Look, he's going to be playing defensive end for this football team. Last time he was really in a 4-3. This guy was a stud. He's led the league in sacks before. You pair him up with Cameron Wake, you got two very good defensive ends right there that can get after the quarterback. If you want to have a chance at winning the AFC East, you're going to have to get at the quarterback, put Tom Brady on his ass multiple times.
They won't.
They probably won't. They're probably not going to win the AFC East. But getting an edge rusher like Robert Quinn was the right move. I'd rather pay someone like that than a slot wide receiver.
They would not win the CFL East right
yes,
now.
Yes, they would.
No, they wouldn't. They would not. The team is bad.
A couple guys that the Miami Dolphins released. Lawrence Timmons, inside linebacker.
saved $5.475 million in cap space and designated for a post-June 1st release, clearing $17 million in cap space. And Donovan Sue, defensive tackle.
Yeah, that's another player they needed to get rid of. This offseason was all about changing the locker room of this football team. Adam Gase did not have complete control. There were still a bunch of high-priced players in this locker room that he did not pick, that he did not want being the leaders of this team. So he's getting his way. And this team, it doesn't have the greatest talent on paper, but he's going to have to start winning some football games if he wants to keep his job. I think he's a great offensive mind, a good young coach who should have a job in this league for a very long time. But it's all about what you do on the field. You got to start getting those W's.
Yeah, the Dolphins are doing a great job of ruining a great coach. They are. They're doing a fantastic job. Their cap hell, as we put it, their inability to maintain a formidable team is not putting Gase in a situation to succeed. And I guarantee it's going to be, they're going to be 1-5, 2-7 this season, and it's going to be tough. Should we fire him? He's going to be the one on the hot seat. And it's a joke. He's going to end up on another team, coaching out of the offense. Say he goes to Atlanta. Say he goes anywhere else that needs an offensive coordinator. And he's going to be a genius there, and he's going to end up on a team. This reminds me a lot of Bill Belichick's initial stint with the Cleveland Browns and how he just hated it because they cut him off at the knees. Dolphins are doing just that with Adam Gase. They should be ashamed of themselves. They really should.
Speaking of Bill Belichick, Danny Amendola signs a 2-year deal, $12 million. I believe it was $8.5 million that was in bonuses and in incentives. And basically, is there anybody else that, in my opinion, almost a slap in the face for the Patriots, for Danny Amendola? He has given money back to the Patriots just to stay with the Patriots and play with Bill Belichick. And the offered to him in free agency was, from what I have read and what has been reported, nothing close to what this offer was for two years and $12 million.
It is a little bit of a slap in the face, but that's the Patriots' way. There's no need to overpay a receiver like Danny Amendola. He's a good NFL wide receiver, but he's nothing special. There's guys that you could draft in the 5th, 6th, 7th round who can pretty much do what he does on a game-per-game basis. I don't hate the pickup for the Dolphins. They saved a bunch of money from going to Amendola from Landry. He is nowhere near the type of player that Landry is, but slot receivers don't win you titles. They don't win you a whole bunch of games. He's going to have that potential to get 50 to 70 receptions, be somewhat productive in this system. Plus, he's a total team guy. That's what you hear all the time from Patriots coaches, that he puts the team before himself, and that's why he's taken pay cuts before. It was his time to get some money in his bank account.
Yeah, the Patriots definitely screwed him. No surprise there, to your point, Tom. It's a good signing for the Dolphins. They have to have someone to catch the ball. Definitely a financial relief going that route over Landry. Obviously, the biggest financial relief is Ryan Tannehill restructured his contract in the offseason. $16.7 million of his contract got turned into a signing bonus, and his salary for 2018 is $775,000. So to me, that screams, hey, if we're bad, maybe we just end up, you know, going our separate ways. But, you know, the Dolphins did what they had to do. Tannehill was, I don't want to say he was kind to the franchise because he got paid a shit ton of money up front regardless, so he doesn't have to do anything. He does not care at this point, which makes me wonder even more. What the hell? You know, he's playing for a future contract, but I don't think he even wants to be in Miami anymore, in all honesty.
I mean, we look at the Dolphins signing Danny Amendola, getting rid of Jarvis Landry. They still have Parker. They still have Kenny Stills. And then they go out and sign Albert Wilson from the Kansas City Chiefs. 3 years, $24 million. I think that was probably the biggest shocker to me.
You guys told me he would be a Bear.
That's what everyone was reporting. Everyone said him and Matt Nagy got along very well, and that he was going to follow him to wherever he went, and that was Chicago. So I was shocked that he signed with Miami. I think they overpaid for him. They got like four slot receivers who are probably going to be getting a lot of play time. There's going to be a bunch of them that are out of position. It'll be interesting.
I love seeing guys like named Albert Wilson getting paid that type of money. Ridiculous. Miami Dolphins say, you know what? We've been in cap hell. What are we going to do? We don't have enough to pay anybody. We got to trade our franchise wide receiver. Oh, thank God we're out of it. Let's throw money at Albert Wilson. Obnoxious, egregious. They should be ashamed of themselves. The Miami Dolphins are the worst franchise in the NFL. They have overtaken the Cleveland Browns as the worst franchise in the NFL. I don't say that even remotely as a joke.
Julius Thomas was also released. Of course, tight end. Cleared $5.6 million. What you talked about, the $16.68 million of Tannehill's salary was to a bonus. That cleared $11.2 million. Rashad Jones, strong safety, converted $9.37 of his salary to a bonus, clearing $6.6 million. Pretty crazy doing that kind of stuff, but again, they needed to make that money work. They did sign Josh Sitton, guard, to a two-year deal, $13.5 million.
This is how bad it is for them. Josh Sitton was a reach for the Bears. Like, oh, hey, let's hope he can fill the role for the Bears. He did an okay job.
He was their best lineman last year.
I don't know about that.
Yes.
He did an okay job for them. Now it just goes down. It's just trying to fill holes. I get that there comes a point, especially when you're in a cap crunch. I like Josh Sitton. Josh Sitton is still better than a good portion of linemen across the league. But what are they going to do with him? What are they going to – how are they going to make Josh Sitton and the system that they have right now work for them? I believe Sitton was signed in Gase's last year with the Bears. I believe he was 3 years with the Bears, so that would make sense. So Sitton has some familiarity there. I just don't I don't know. I'm not going to keep bashing them. I just don't get what the Dolphins are doing. I don't. I don't understand it even remotely.
Another couple moves that they did. They signed Jermon Bushrod, guard, to a one-year deal. They traded...
Former Bear.
Yeah. They traded for center Daniel Kilgore, and then they released, right after that, Mike Pouncey.
I like the Kilgore signing. That interior of the line is better than it was last year, so props to them for that. Try to make your best assets as pretty as you possibly can. Ryan Tannehill, Kenyon Drake, those guys are the make or break of your team right now. So go ahead and make them as pretty as you possibly can. That interior line does just that. So I don't hate those that pick.
Yeah, you said Kenyon Drake. I think you meant Grandpa Frank Gore. He's probably going to be starting for this football team. Old, consistent, averages about 3 yards per carry.
Little known fact.
But he gets the job done.
He was born 3 years earlier than the Miami Dolphins owner.
That's false.
Little known fact. Their
owner is like 84.
Frank Gore is 86.
Still playing football.
I just don't understand with Frank Gore at this point in time. Is it just, it's a 1 year, $1.X million, right? Like, why keep playing at this point in time? Just to keep playing?
Wants to win a Super Bowl.
No, he's...
with the Dolphins?
He's playing, honestly, Frank Gore is playing at this point because this is his 37th season in the NFL. He knows he's going to die soon from head trauma. So he's just trying to make that extra cash for his family.
He's going back home. It's where he played college. This is where
he'll be cut.
He should. He's not going to get cut.
Cut.
I'll take that slap bet.
I don't think he's going to get cut.
Eyebrow bet, Tim.
Cut.
He won't even do a tattoo bet.
I know, that's a stupid thing to do.
Some of the other moves, they signed Brock Osweiler, 1 year deal, 880. $1,000. Sam Young, one-year deal, $1.3 million deal.
Bryce, all this hate is petty.
Gavin Escobar. They exercised the option for Devontae Parker for 2019. That's pretty much it in the free agency world for them.
They were somewhat active, didn't make a bunch of splashes. I like what they did in free agency. Tim, you absolutely hate it. You're going to give them an F minus.
I like what they did on the line. I said I like what they built on the interior of that line.
I think it was smart to sign. Yeah, I don't like the money Albert Wilson and Amendola got, but you got those two players who's cheaper than it would have been to keep Landry.
They got two role players, like a role wide receiver three player on any other team.
Yeah.
For monster money. Stupid. Stupid.
I'm trying to look up Frank Gore's...
multiple years stupid.
...contracts that he's had, because I'm very, very curious.
I don't think he's made a whole bunch of money.
Frank Gore?
Yeah.
For the Colts, his last contract was 3 years, $12 million.
Frank Gore is so old, they actually paid him in gold on his rookie contract. That's how old he is.
That's good value right there.
Yeah, but he didn't keep it. Put it in banks, dumbass.
He's made a total of $26 million throughout his career. Terrible. First year, obviously, working on the rookie contracts, $200,000, $350,000, $430,000, $2.5 million, $2.5 million, $2.8 million, $3.9 million, $2 million, $3.3, $3.3, $1, $1, $3.5.
I want everyone, anytime you hear of a player bitching and complaining about money and you know, doing, you know, trying to get the best deal that they possibly can, look at Frank Gore. That is an egregious number for the type of career that he's had.
Total cash overall with all of his bonuses and workout bonuses, roster bonuses.
$24. Workout
$60 million dollars total.
It's a lot of money. That's more than I've made in my lifetime. And I'm doing all right for myself. You guys are doing all right for yourself. Josh just bought a motorcycle. He don't make $1 million a year.
Does he have a sidecar?
Frank Gore's probably doing all right for himself.
Does he have a sidecar?
No sidecar.
Bad investment.
Got ape hangers.
No ape hangers.
Well, you're going to look like a douche, just so you know.
Let's go ahead and move on to the draft portion here for the Miami Dolphins. First pick, pick number 11 overall, Minka Fitzpatrick, safety out of Alabama, the guy with no true position. Do you guys think that if the Arizona Cardinals did not trade up to 10, that we could be talking about the Dolphins taking Josh Rosen at 11?
Absolutely.
100% yes.
They should have. I'm not even big on Lamar Jackson. They should have taken Lamar Jackson.
At 11?
Yeah. They should. Minka Fitzpatrick.
Interesting take.
I don't know what Minka's going to add to their team. I don't know where they see
him. And what, play him at wide receiver, Tim?
Oh, Lamar? Yeah. It's equal to what they have going on there right now. No, they need a quarterback. They don't have it. It's obvious that Ryan Tannehill is not the guy.
He is. Maybe they just need to get him more weapons by shipping out one of his best weapons to bring in some other
to pay stupid money for
stupid weapons
for two guys to be the weapons. I like Minka way more than you guys. I do feel like he'll be valuable on this team. I do like his ability to kind of switch up between corner and safety. I think he's going to add a lot of depth to this defense. But their needs are everywhere. Their needs are absolutely everywhere. So taking someone who is probably a safety in the league, makes me nervous.
Minka was a top 15 player on my board, 14th overall. So going at 11, it kind of makes sense. I like you guys, I don't really get it for the Dolphins right now. Most likely he's probably going to be playing a slot corner, but he does bring versatility at Bama. He played a little bit of everything early on, played boundary corner, kind of moved a more safety role last year, playing nickel corner, box safety. So he can kind of do it all. He's kind of like a chess piece out there. If you got a matchup where you want to line him up on the tight end most of the game, you got a good athletic tight end like a Rob Gronkowski, he's going to be able to do an adequate job covering him. Good at defending the run. He's just a good football player. People at Bama called him, I think it was Saban Jr. or something like that, because he eats, breathes, sleeps football. That's what he cares about. High character kid. But the real interesting thing with this pick is the owner did not want to take Minka.
Yeah.
He either wanted to trade up or trade down. He wanted nothing to do with Minka Fitzpatrick. And it's outrageous that he admitted that, told the media that. So that shows Minka right away, like, this is a dysfunctional franchise. The owner didn't want me, but the GM and coach did. So yeah, it kind of sucks for him.
I don't understand that dynamic either. If I own something, I don't care how many people I have underneath me. If I am the owner and I say, no, I don't want that, and then the people that I have in charge go ahead and take that anyway, there's an issue there. There's a problem there. I don't understand that dynamic. The owner is the end-all be-all. So either one, shut your mouth and say that you were on board with it if you were ever asked about it, or two, force those people to make your decisions. The decision that you want, the player that you want. I don't understand that. How are you the owner and you're going to come out afterwards and say, oh no, that's not who I wanted? You pay that man, you give him his check. What do you mean that's not who you wanted? Stupid, just so dumb. You're the reason why J-Lo was a part owner of an NFL team, sir. Freaking jackass.
Yeah, there was an article written right after the draft. A Miami Dolphins scout was at the Alabama game, and he basically was walking by and saw Minka Fitzpatrick on game day watching video in the room. Oh, he's the only one watching. Nobody else was there. They let them in there. The scout took a picture of Minka watching tape, sent it to the general manager with two hands clapping emojis, whatever. And he said he couldn't believe it. Top professionalism. I could go on and on. And basically right then and there, they loved Minka Fitzpatrick, the GM, the scout, head coach, all that stuff. They didn't think that they were going to get Minka. They did not think that he was going to drop to him. And I think that they're absolutely in love with the idea of him going there, minus the owner.
Yep.
So, very interesting. Second pick for the Miami Dolphins, Mike Gesicki, Penn State tight end.
I wasn't a big fan of this tight end class as a whole. It's probably because the 2017 tight end class was absolutely fantastic. You try to compare these two classes, there really is no comparison. Last year's class was a lot better. But Adam Gase and his system, they put a premium on tight ends. Dolphins were hoping Julius Thomas would be a dominant tight end like he was in Denver. Struggled since he lost that Denver Broncos system, and Peyton Manning throwing him the football. Hasn't been able to stay healthy. And Gesicki, wouldn't even label him a tight end. He's going to be a receiver for this football team. Line him up in the slot, outside, try to create mismatches. His one big weakness is his blocking. So I don't think they're going to be asking him to do that. Tested fantastic at the combine. But when I watched his film, I didn't see a crazy good athlete like that. Doesn't have good short area quickness. Kind of has he's kind of that long strider that takes a little bit to gain some momentum. But they're going to use him, hopefully, to attack the seams. Hopefully, they're not asking him to run a lot of short routes. But this guy can go up, get the football. Crazy, crazy vert for a guy this size. Long arms. He's going to be a mismatch in the red zone.
I don't understand how they go with Gesicki here, in all honesty. I don't understand. You mentioned it, Tom. He's a wide receiver. That's how he translates. Yeah, he cannot block. Unless they saw him and they say, oh, no, we know how we're going to get him to be a blocking tight end. No, you know how to get him to let someone go and injure Ryan Tannehill again. He's a big body. He's great downfield, but I just don't see you know, I think the Dolphins are mistaken thinking that, oh, we got someone who could be like Gronk, you know, great big pass catching tight end. Well, no, Gronk can at least block a little bit. Gesicki, he can't.
Well, maybe they thought that they saw Evan Engram last year, and maybe they think that they can do the same thing with him. I think Evan Engram, we did not see a ton of inline blocking from him. Obviously, we've talked about Evan Engram's speed is probably a lot faster than Mike Gesicki's.
Yep.
But at the same time, he wasn't asked to block a lot. He was asked to go catch the ball and run some routes. Granted, pretty much every wide receiver on that team died, so he was asked to do more wide receiver stuff. But at the same time, maybe that's what they see, and they kind of steer that way.
Yeah, I don't hate that comparison, Josh. I still think that...
He's definitely not the same type of athlete.
No, and that's exactly what I was going to say. Evan Engram's a much, much better athlete. So it's going to take... I just see Gesicki as... I'm going to put him in there when the team's in the red zone. Outside of that, you know, I don't know how much I can justify playing him, in all honesty. He translates more to a... who's the big idiot the Bears drafted?
Sheehan.
Thank you.
Sheehan.
Adam Sheehan. Than I do in Evan Engram.
But you look at tight ends, if they can block and they have his ability, they're going to be a top 20 pick.
Yeah.
They don't come around that often. And
well, that's what it shocks me that they didn't go with Goedert at that time, because
he struggles at blocking too.
But he is a better blocker though than he is.
Yep.
So that's I think he's more of a complete player overall compared to
Goedert. I agree. I like Goedert there much better.
It's Goddard.
Yeah, Goedert.
Joe Dirt. That's what I want to say every time. Yeah, moving on, third round pick, Jerome Baker out of Ohio State, outside linebacker.
My favorite pick for them.
Mine too.
I love this pick for them. It's someone that they can put in there. He can be a potential sideline to sideline. Great tackler. He's going to have to figure out, you know, the smarts aspect of it, dropping back into coverage. He's not great there, but playing at Ohio State, he still has a sense of what it's going to take to play in the NFL. He is going to be their very best insert right away, be a difference maker on the defensive side of the ball. I love this pick for the Dolphins.
I think he should be a day one Will linebacker for this football team.
For
just
sure.
Let him run and chase. Good athlete. Fits the bill of what you're looking for at that position. Got the ability to cover tight ends, running backs. A little bit undersized, but the NFL is kind of going into that direction. One of the cool things, I don't know if you guys heard about this, he was asked at the combine, a coach asked him what he would do if the coach punched him in the face right there. He said, sorry, coach, but we'd be throwing hands. And you got to like that reaction. He probably got an A-plus for that answer. You want that linebacker to be a little feisty, not to be the nicest guy in the world, because they got to go out there, be dogs on the defensive side of the football. I like that mentality. I like Baker. 65th player on my board, went 73. Almost right where I thought he'd go. Good pick for the Dolphins.
Moving on to the fourth round, we have Durham Smith and out of Notre Dame, tight end. And we just talked about the other tight end, Gesicki, not being able to block. Maybe this is why they went with two tight ends and bringing him in, because he is going to be your blocking tight end, but I don't even think he's going to be the second tight end on this team.
He is a blocking tight end. That's what he did best at Notre Dame. They got two tight ends in the first four rounds. It's showing you the premium that they have on this position. I think there's a big-time reach. He's 192 on my board because he really doesn't offer a lick of offensive ability. Not a good receiver at all in my eyes, kind of physically limited, but he's one of the better pass or run blocking and pass blocking tight ends in this class in my eyes.
Yeah, I guess they're just trying to even out the Gesicki pick. They picked one extreme for the tight end position. Now they're going with the other extreme. It's going to translate to they're not, you know, super exciting at the wide receiver position. So when Gesicki is out there as a quote unquote tight end, but he's kicked out a little bit, you might have Durham Smith there to make sure that Ryan Tannehill gets some time to try to get it to the playmakers. Sets them up for some better red zone packages. Notre Dame is very well known for their NFL caliber tight end talent. So, it's not a great pick by any means for the Dolphins, but it's something that'll work.
Another fourth round pick, Kalen Ballage out of Arizona State, running back, adding to the Frank Gore and the Kenyon Drake duo.
He's a physical specimen, 6'2", 222 pounds.
Monster.
Runs like a deer, looks the part of a bell cow running back. Never rushed over 700 yards at Arizona State. Was never the lead dog there. Always was splitting carries. On tape, issues with his vision. Runs into blockers and into their backs all the time. Runs upright. Doesn't really seem to run like a big back all that often. A lot of negative yardage runs in his career. Senior Bowl looked good, though. I think it's a little, kind of a risky pick. Upside's there, but that backfield's going to be wide open in Miami.
Whenever somebody says has issues with vision and running into their blockers, I always envision that tape of – no, not that but, – of Trent Richardson yep. when he was on the Oakland Raiders, and there was a giant hole, and he ran right into his offensive lineman.
Have it all the time with backside.
Oh, man, it was awful. But, yeah, continue. Sorry.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
It's,
if he can put it together, it'd be something else.
That's yeah. the one trait you really don't want a running back to be lacking. They could be a 4-6 guy, but if they got good vision, they could normally make it work. That's why I'm a little worried about him.
I think that they're just going to help, hope that he can – maybe be a short yardage back, get Drake off the field at times. I don't really know. It's more of just a, like, I was always laughing when I had Drake in our dynasty league, and Josh was like, oh, I got Ballage, get the hell out of here. It's not a real, he might vulture a red zone touchdown or something like that somewhere throughout this this season, but not a, nothing to write home about.
We'll see what happens. You never know.
I know.
Next pick,
now you know.
We have sixth round Cornell Armstrong out of Southern Mississippi, corner.
Some more secondary help, kind of play a little bit of slot and boundary corner at college, 4.45 40 time, just rolling the dice there. We're just trying to go for upside with that. It's got some quality traits that a lot of teams are looking at for a cornerback, but not too excited about the pick. Wasn't in my top 200.
No, I saw somewhere that he said he mirrored his game off of Brent Grimes, which bothers me because I hate Brent Grimes. So I guess we'll have to wait and see how it translates. He's not there's nothing about him that makes me like, all right, he's going to be able to do this for the team. He's going to be able to implement that in his game. You know, it's nothing. He has nothing like over the top exciting, but. No, he's someone they might be able to pair up, be a rotation guy at that spot.
Another pick that they had here in the seventh round, Quentin Poling, inside linebacker, and Jason Sanders, New Mexico. He is a kicker.
Yeah, I really don't care about a kicker.
Yeah.
Poling, though, fast linebacker. I think he ran in the 4.5s, which is pretty good for an inside backer. Flies around the football field. Probably be a special teams kid right away, but they need some more depth at the linebacker spot.
I don't believe either of these players make the team.
Most seventh round picks don't.
Yep, but at least I've had hope for some of the other ones. I have no hope for either of these guys. One of them is going to have their leg fall off, and the other one is just going to have an asthma attack and be off the team.
An asthma attack?
Yep.
Interesting. What'd you guys think of the offseason moves for the Miami Dolphins?
It's just kind of meh. Not a huge fan of this draft. Like Minka as a player, just didn't think he should go that early in the draft. Got two tight ends, both kind of limited what they can do. I think their best overall pick was Jerome Baker in the third round. I'll give him a B-. I think they improved. I think this football team has a chance to be better than they were last year. I think getting rid of Landry was the right call. Getting rid of Pouncey was the right call. Added some help on the pass rusher and Sue. So they got some guys that they didn't feel like were quality guys in the locker room. And Gase is finally getting to build the team that he wants on the field.
I'm going to give him a C. It's not even for the picks. It's more of just, I mean, they have the Minka pick was what it was. And then the rest of it's more of just they're trying to make sure that they are set up for next year. Is more of how I saw their draft. So C is what I'm going to give them.
Yeah, I think they did a good job of converting some of that money off the books and cutting to restructuring Tannehill's deal and doing what they need to do. But again, they added to the interior of that offensive line, which is good. Shipped out Pouncey, but at the same time, in that draft, not the strongest of drafts. So again, I think I'd put it around what you guys had. So I would agree with those assessments there. Let's go ahead and move on to the fantasy portion of this, guys. And again, we're going to start with the quarterbacks. Obviously, we have quarterback Brock Osweiler. And Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill is going to be the guy. You guys agree?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And what do we think of Mr. Ryan Tannehill this year, coming back from injury, of course?
He's definitely not a sexy fantasy quarterback. Two quarterback league, yeah, he's going to be worth starting, but in a normal like 12 team redraft league where you start one quarterback, I would not be targeting him. If you need a spot start, he's got a good matchup, possibly. He's shown in the past that he can be somewhat fantasy relevant. He is a good athlete. See if that knee injury takes away from his mobility a little bit. But I do like Gase, and I do like the system. We saw Matt Moore put up some decent numbers last year as a quarterback in this system. Don't have as many skilled players on the offensive side of the football, but I'm not starting.
If Tannehill has a great matchup the week that your number one quarterback has a bye, I would still sit Tannehill.
Yeah, I would never start Tannehill.
No, I just don't. He does have the potential to get you like an 18 to 22 point game. I mean, he has way more potential to get you a 5 to 8 point game. Not someone that I want to be playing. If I am playing him, it is by complete accident.
Ryan Tannehill actually had a stat category that he led in the NFL 1 year. Can you name that stat?
Fumbles.
No.
Interceptions.
Sacks taken. 58.
I'm sure he takes it.
Almost 400 yards.
It's not good.
No, it's not good at all. That's the only stat, sorry. So, moving on to the running back portion, we got Kenyon Drake, Frank Gore, and of course, Ballage.
Kenyon Drake is someone that I would be looking at for a flex position or a potentially back-end running back too. I like Kenyon Drake more than the average person does, but I am realistic on what he's going to be able to do. He had a good four games, I think, towards the end of last year where he looked very, very impressive. We've talked about it at length on these shows. It scares me. He's like the Jay Ajayis of the world, where you like him, you see him, he's got all the talent, but can they put it together and make him fantasy viable? Somewhere, you know, if you're really hurting at running back, a Kenyon Drake is definitely worth having on your team because he potentially could blow up and be a true, you know, number two running back.
So if you look at Kenyon Drake's stats, you have week 13, 23 rushes, 120 yards, a touchdown, for PPR points of 23 points. The next week, week 14, 24 points. The next week, 23 points. And then 5 and then 12. It is what it is. But he's also receiving the ball out of the backfield. He had 3 catches, 5 catches, and 6 catches throughout those weeks. But the thing is, Frank Gore is coming into town on a 1-year deal, yes. But at the same time, what did the Colts do last year? They drafted Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack had a lot of hype in the offseason going into the season last year. And Frank Gore was still technically the lead runner there. I personally would be waiting to see how the offseason and camp and the preseason games shake out. I would not be putting a lot of draft stock in either one of these guys right now, but this is definitely a situation to watch. It could be a complete boom or bust for Kenyon Drake if you're doing drafts early, like, because there are a lot of people that do drafts early. Again, you said the best ball, right?
Yep.
That could be a huge bust of a pick if Frank Gore turns out to be the guy in that backfield. Or it could be really awesome for you if you do take Kenyon Drake and they cut Frank Gore, which I could see that happening as well. It's very interesting. wait as long as you can to make this decision.
Drake has, he's got a lot of boomer bust in him. Last year was really the first time in his football career where he was the guy at the running back position. Wasn't that guy in high school, wasn't that guy at Bama. And it was good. It was cool to see him actually take that feature role, run with it. At the beginning, him and Damian Williams were kind of splitting carries, and Drake came out and showed that he was the better running back. Adds a lot in the receiving game. I really hope he can keep it up. Seems like a good kid. Extremely exciting running back to watch. Big playability. Hopefully he can keep the running back one spot for this Dolphins team. But Gore, like Josh said, is going to be taking touches away. And they're going to see what they got in Kalen Ballage as well. But if I had to pick one, it'd be Drake. And I'd probably be drafting him as a real low-end running back to 22 to 25 range. I'd be taking him off the board at the running back spot.
Moving on to wide receiver, of course, we have newly signed Danny Amendola. We have Kenny Stills, who almost finished as a wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3 last year. Devontae Parker and Albert Wilson.
It's not a sexy wide receiver group. Normally, you could always pencil in Landry to be a top-tier wide receiver 2. I don't think they have that this year. Parker, I don't believe in him. You know, I've kind of been burnt by him a couple times. Like his skill set, like his ability, just can't stay healthy. I own Kenny Stills in every best ball league I'm in because he has like 4 games where he goes off, gets 20-plus points. But I really don't want to draft any of these guys in a normal redraft fantasy football league.
Yeah, absolutely not. Don't draft even one of them. Mostly because of the boomer bust potential. And that on top with the questions at quarterback, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. There's plenty of wide receivers out there to give you that opportunity.
If you're not drafting one of those wide receivers, are you possibly thinking about drafting Mike Gesicki at tight end?
Not really. It's hard for rookie tight ends to make a big-time impact. Last year we saw Evan Engram have a historic rookie year, but all the other guys that went in the first round or early second really didn't do much. O.J. Howard was one of the most complete tight ends I've ever scouted to come out, and he didn't do shit. I don't have much faith in Gesicki doing it this year.
Not at all.
Not really many fantasy-relevant players on this football team this year.
Yeah.
There's not even a lot of NFL-relevant players on the football team this year.
What do we think that the Dolphins are going to do this year?
I don't think they'll be that good, but I think they have a chance to finish second in the AFC East. The Jets, especially if they start that garbage quarterback, Sam Darnold, will probably be basement feeders. Huh. They'll probably be terrible. The Bills, let's see who they started the quarterback spot. The Dolphins might have the second best quarterback in the AFC East, and that means a lot. They'll probably be somewhere between 4 and 6 wins, though.
Yeah, I think they're going to be god-awful. I'm going to put them in that 3 to 5 win range. I just have zero faith in them. I love Adam Gase. I unfortunately believe, or maybe even fortunately, he's going to get fired just because he's kind of got the short end of the stick. So
I think they got 6 winnable games on this schedule.
6?
Yeah. 6 possible wins. So I'm going to go with 6.
I would happily bet that under.
I wonder what the over-under is.
Probably 5.5.
Maybe.
Probably.
It's a pretty common number for shitty teams.
Yeah. Anything else on the Miami Dolphins, guys?
No, they should probably bring back Jay Cutler if they want to have any chance of making the playoffs this year.
Just glad we're done covering them.
Oh, this, like, literally, nothing about this team makes me happy.
Tom, I want to ask you this question. Tim, I guess you can chime in. Do you remember ever somebody stating that Ryan Tannehill has never thrown over 4,000 yards in his career? I do. Tim said that 2 years ago.
True. Didn't we call him out on it then, though?
We did. I just wanted to relive the situation.
So what does that have to do with me hating them right now?
Nothing. Just wanted to say.
I mean, do you have any proof of that, that I said that?
I remember it.
Yeah, it's on tape.
All right. Please play it. Can you play the clip? Roll the clip, Josh.
Not right now, bro. It's saved on my hard drive.
You don't have a hard track.
Actually, I think you said he's never thrown over 3,000 yards. 3,000 yards. And we're like, are you dumb? You're like, oh, I mean four. And we're like, are you dumb?
Now, that sounds like something Drunk Tim would say.
Tattoo bet, bro.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Yeah. He's never thrown for 3,000.
And we, like, mocked him, and he changed it to four. And we mocked him again.
Failed,
he's not a good quarterback.
He said, check my file.
Well, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed the breakdown of the Miami Dolphins. Again, you guys can follow us on Twitter, at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony_Keg_Tom, and at FightTalkTim. You guys can always email us, ponykegsports@gmail.com. And until next time.
Miami.